Pray. Lord God, bless your word within our hearts and minds so that our faith is strengthened. Amen. This summer I'm going to be attending, God willing, a seminar in Chicago. The seminar is intended to reach out to the people of the community of Batavia, where we have a church. My assignment there is to explain the process whereby the canon of the Bible was discovered, that is, the discovery of those books of the Bible which are indeed from God. Question is, of course, how do we know which books are really from God? As you go out into the world, the challenges to your faith are going to increase in number and in severity. We hope and pray that here at ILC, what the Lord has given to you will support you in this struggle. One of the questions that is sometimes asked is one that will challenge your conviction that the Bible itself is from God. How do you know that the Bible is from God? How do you know that it is the only book from God? What about the Quran, the Book of Mormon, the Vedas, the Pali, or numerous other supposedly holy books? How are you going to be answered difficult questions like that? And if you find it difficult to give an answer, is this going to cause you to be thrown into doubt regarding your own confidence? Well, guess what? You cannot prove that the Bible is from God. That is, you cannot prove it through the scientific method. You cannot prove it to somebody who doesn't believe it. God says in Hebrews 11, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." For the believer, there is no need to have proof that God exists, that Jesus is the Savior, that the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, and that the Bible is the one and only Word of God. His faith is all the proof that he needs. Faith gives substance to things that you cannot lay your hands on, things that you only hope for. Faith is the evidence, the proof of things that are invisible. Faith reaches out to grasp something usually outside of oneself, to grasp that thing and hang on to it for dear life. The belief, the confidence that that thing somehow is going to be beneficial for your life. Now, faith does not grasp this thing because the person has used some scientific method to test whether or not it's real. If you can test the reality of something with a scientific method, then it is no longer a matter of faith. Everybody has faith in something. It may not be in a higher being. A person might put his faith in another person, in some leader, some king. Or he might put his faith in himself. Even so, he cannot prove that the object of his faith is always reliable, always trustworthy. He just believes it. When it comes to our faith regarding the triune God, this is a faith which is contrary to our natural way of thinking, to our reason. This is a faith that nobody can create by himself, in himself. His own mind will tell him that it is irrational to believe that God can be three and one at the same time. That one of these three became a man. That the sacrifice of this one could pay for the sins of all people on earth. And that through faith in this one person, and faith alone, a man will inherit eternal glory. All other religions, other than Christianity, teach that man must save himself. And in fact, some branches of Christianity teach that. That a man must satisfy the anger of the gods by what he himself does. Good deeds, self-punishment, sacrifices, giving money, and things like that. And the reason for this is that all of these religions have been concocted in the mind of man, and so the teachings of those religions must agree with human reason. However, our kind of faith comes only when the natural thinking of our minds and hearts is overcome, is overwhelmed by forces outside of ourselves. We believe not because we see, not because it has been proven, not because it appeals to our logic, but because God Himself has descended from heaven. He has come down and entered into our hearts and has torn down the fortresses of sin. He has destroyed all the arguments of our minds and all the lofty opinions that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. He has brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. God Himself has touched our hearts with His grace. And that's why we believe. And that's why we are saved. So what are you going to say then to somebody who doesn't have that kind of faith and who is challenging your personal faith? What proof are you going to offer to this person that this Bible is the Word of God and only His only revelation of truth? Well, what convinced you? The Bible convinced you. The Word of God is the power of God. The power of human reason can never accomplish what the power of God can. So it's God's own gospel message that overwhelmed our hearts, that overwhelmed all those forces. So tell that person to read the Bible for himself. Ask him, have you ever read the Bible? I mean, at length. Suggest to him, read it. The Gospel of Mark, perhaps. And that, if he's done with the Gospel of Mark, read the Epistle to the Romans. And then say, we'll have a discussion when you're done with that. If he rejects what God has to say, then what words do you think you can use to convince him? So don't bother engaging in some kind of arguments of human reason. The end of that road is only personal doubt for yourself. And if in the whole process doubts do arise, then you do the same thing you're suggesting for him. Go back to the word that convinced you in the first place. The words of God will once again convince you and stabilize your faith. We'll pray. Lord, help us to be strong and of good courage when we go forth to meet the foe. Arm us for the battle with truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and your word. Keep us in the faith until we see that which we now believe. Grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hymn 283. I imagine there has to be some announcements.